When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures podcast. Tonight's episode, we actually have an interview episode tonight. We are excited about this. We have Tina Towns Woo-hoo! In the studio tonight.
Howdy.
Say hello. Yes.
This is cool. Really cool for us.
So this is our first interview like this as well, being that Tina is a local comedian here in the Treasure Valley. Do you kind of go all over the place or?
Not really. I mean, I think the furthest out I've gone is Crescent Brewery.
Oh, okay.
Here in Nampa.
Okay.
With the exception of when I was in Arkansas for 6 months last year, but that's because of sad reasons.
And okay.
I'm not a sad boy.
Sweet. So you mainly stick to the Boise area?
Yeah,
and sometimes
for the most part.
Nampa. What are the spots in Boise to go to? Like, where's the open mics at?
Oh, golly. There's almost one every night.
As really?
Well. You know, yeah.
Oh, do tell.
So, like, Sunday, there's two. One's at Quinn's Restaurant in their bar area. And the other one's at, like, Eastside Tavern downtown that I haven't found. It's like, off of Broadway or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Monday is Mad Swede Brewing. And that's off of Cole Road, just past the Boise Costco. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Tuesdays, there's the Nampa one at Crescent. And then also in Boise is Lost Grove Brewing over by Ann Morrison Park.
Okay, yeah.
And then later in the evening is at Ramapong. It's like kind of like
I haven't heard of it, and it sounds fun.
The gong show, but instead of a gong, you get hit with ping pong balls.
Oh, nice!
We have to go to that one.
So yes. I haven't gone myself, but I also don't like getting hit by ping pong balls because depending on how hard someone throws
it,
you could
throwing them.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
So it's one of those.
Yeah.
Where if you don't like the comedian, toss it. I was like,
oh wow!
And even comedians get the ping pong balls, so it's just like, oh, you can't do that.
Oh wow!
Because like, comedians are going to have a bias to be like, no, yes, I want more time.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, dang.
Oh, that's awesome. We got to check that one out.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of the reason we got into podcasting is our love for stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Watching.
Kill Tony. Are you?
I've heard of it because a couple of comedians went to when they were at the Knitting Factory.
Yeah,
and then I think two or three of the local comics actually got on.
Oh, nice.
So that was pretty cool. But I've never actually, like, listened to Kill Tony myself.
Yeah.
But everyone else is like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's like, hi, I'm a super cash.
Yeah.
I'm more of an anime person. I just do this as, like, stress relief.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at that Kill Tony show, actually, and we saw
Nate Ford.
Yeah, he was, like, the last one called
up. Killed. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
he
a good set.
He made the whole
set.
Show, honestly.
Yeah, because there were a lot,
the whole thing up.
There were a lot of
awesome.
People getting up that weren't comedians, you know, they were just locals. So I'll put my name in a hat, you know, and that actually pisses the host off when people do that.
Yeah.
Like you're wasting the time of these comedians that, you know, are trying to get up every week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but then like Wednesdays, there's two. There's the Liquid open mic at the actual comedy club. And then a little bit later in the evening, there's one. It's called Rough Drafts at Doc's Lodge. And so Doc's Lodge is like a tiny little bar right before you hit the connector.
Okay.
So I haven't gone there really per se. Like I think I've watched it once or twice, but that one's more of a if you've actually hosted at Liquid, they want you to actually try and get stuff down more. So it's a more professional mic.
Oh, okay.
So, and I was just like, I'm not professional.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I can't even say vajayjay.
Yeah.
And then Thursday is the late night mic, Okay Good Mic.
How late?
It starts anywhere between, like, 10:45 to 11 p.m.
Wow.
Because they have an actual comedy show on Thursdays more often than not. And then it's kind of just like a afterthought viewing and something before the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't realize there was that much in Boise.
Yeah, oh, neither yeah. did I.
Cool.
Because I think it died out a little bit for a while in Boise, just what I kind of saw, you know, being not a comedian, you know. And
stuff. I didn't even know we had a comedy scene.
Yeah.
Like, how I got involved was because of, a weird indirect connection of Quidditch.
Okay.
I was talking to, like, the captain of the BSU Quidditch team, yes. like, when it was first getting started, and these two guys just approached us and were like, hey, you, to my friend, Stu, who's like, you were the guy who was the snitch in the California tournament, weren't you? And they're like, we're comedians, come to the Flips and Beaner show. And I was just like, excuse me, what? And it was apparently just, like, a show filled with, like, Filipino comedians and Mexican comedians, and then headlined by Sean Peabody.
Oh, Chris knows him.
That's actually a friend of mine.
So it's just like, I'll go. But then I called my brother, who was my ride, because I didn't have a car at the time. I was like, you have to go with me. I don't want to go by myself.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it ended up being a good show because I actually knew one of the comedians because he was like someone's cousin in the Filipino community. And at the time, it was a small community, so everyone knew everyone. And I was like, oh, that's JR, but I don't know who's JR.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, knowing that, I was like, there's probably like half the Filipino community here, which means I can't drink because then some lie will happen and get back to my mom.
Oh,
be like, your daughter was belligerent. Blah, blah. So I'm just like, I'm just going to have Sprite.
Oh, jeez. So, and this is in Boise?
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a bit of a Filipino community in Boise.
Growing up, I lived in Garden City, but both my parents worked at Migron, and anyone who worked at Migron that was Filipino basically became best friends.
Yeah. Oh.
And so we'd spend like holidays together, and it got to the point where Christmas parties and like birthday parties were just huge. Like my 13th birthday party had the entire Filipino community, which was like 300 people in and out of my house. But I also mean I made like $300-$400 in cash and gifts, so I can't complain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Balling out of control at like 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice nights, tight-knit group for the most part, except if you were like me or my siblings, because we weren't like Asian enough. I poke fun at it all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do have some good friends from the community there, so.
Yeah.
More Asian enough. Were you born and raised in this area?
So, like my family is from Arkansas, and my dad got a job offer from Migron, so they moved him across the country.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't born yet. I was born after they had been here for a year.
Oh, okay.
So I'm the purebred.
The purebred.
Potato.
Idahoan.
I mean, I do really like potatoes, so I guess it fits.
Jeez. Now, do you find that, and I'll get the serious here for a minute, that being from Idaho, do you ever find, like you just said, not being Asian enough or not being black enough in certain groups?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's really weird because most of my friends were like white kids in Garden City. Yeah. I like to call it just like they were trashy enough to not live in a trailer, but not rich enough to live outside of like a duplex.
Yeah.
Because it was really funny where I lived, only minorities actually owned houses.
Oh, really?
So it's like apartments or duplex people. And so that was really weird. But I was usually like the first black kid a lot of kids knew.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh man, I have like so many black friends. Like you, your brother Chris, your brother Mario.
Yeah. It's like,
that doesn't count.
Your
like, things don't count. You got to know someone not
totally
related.
That's hilarious.
Like I didn't meet another black kid until I was in third grade.
Oh, wow.
We talk about that a lot, you and I.
Yeah,
well, because we're not from
and
here.
We everyone be like, oh my gosh, you two are tall, so you must like each other, and you're also black, and we're like, now we cousins. and people believe that to the point where I actually had like my high school reunion last year. So it's like, oh, I saw your cousin AT, and I was like, they're not actually related. That was just a, you know, survival tactic.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, so we grew up, I grew up in California.
Yeah, and I'm from Alaska.
About 30 miles from San Francisco. So honestly, I grew up, all my friends where I lived, had a huge Filipino population there.
Yeah.
So, we had more Filipinos per capita than the Philippines in Baleo.
Wow.
In Baleo, yeah. So at least at that time, I don't know what it is now, but. Yeah, everyone growing up, all my friends were Filipino.
Well, you talked about being on that sports team. You were the only white guy.
Yeah, Little League. Yeah, that's where I grew up. Yeah, we were the only white family on the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if you knew like one of my distant relatives.
Maybe.
Most of them live in California or the Philippines.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason I've ever been to California, really, other than like. Going to San Diego on a mission trip and being like the one person going, you know, shoving down religion at like random homeless people is a little questionable.
Yeah.
I'm probably not saying this because I just stepped on a syringe. So.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, at least I was wearing my sneakers.
Wow.
Wait, was this a mission you went on?
Yeah, it was just during spring break, so it was just a week-long thing. And my youth group went down, and some of the college kids went down, too. But I was the youngest at 15. They treated me like garbage.
So. Is this the youth group that you were speaking of in that? Because
yes.
We were like... Because
we have to talk about dog shit brownies.
Have I had a lot to drink, or is this crazy that she's talking
yeah,
about?
That was the like, same youth group.
Sounds...
I mean... They did a lot
like
of questionable
torture.
Things, like they had labor auctions.
That's what, yeah.
Oh,
I was like,
yes.
What is she talking about? A labor
and it was,
auction?
It was. They should have just called it like fundraisers, like
yeah.
pick your volunteer fundraisers.
Wow.
Instead, they called it like labor auctions, and they made us wear signs
all
about
the
like
kids.
Our yeah. But like, I was the only one who was like super detailed, described like she could probably do a lot of heavy labor
oh,
lifting,
God.
And
wow.
I was like, this is so questionable.
Yeah, really.
And it doesn't help the family. It was just an older couple whose like kid moved out ASAP. And I don't blame them because it's Idaho. But yeah, I worked with this one couple with my best friend, and we had to rake their leaves, and they had like an acre
oh my God.
Front yard and like an acre of backyard with.
Oh, come on now. That ain't even bullshit.
That's horseshit.
And like they had, you know, decades old maple trees. So these leaves are as big as my like teenage head.
Oh, jeez.
And it took me. Probably 3 hours just to get half of the yard done.
Wow.
And then afterwards, once like we were completely done, and it took us the 6-7 hours because we started like right at 7 in the morning, so it was freezing cold when we started.
Yeah.
And they decided they dropped me off and my friend off, who lived way out here in Nampa. So on the way out, we stopped at Sonic, and it was like the first time I'd stopped at Sonic with not my family. They're like, oh, what do you want? I was like, I'll just take a small milkshake. I know. And I want to feel like you guys have to treat me.
Yeah.
And then they gave me a super large one. I was like, oh, no. My parents are going to be like, you made them buy you a milkshake after you did work for them? Because one of those, like, why do you have this type growing up. Especially of like my sibling, because my brothers were doing other stuff. Like my oldest brother, who's 5.5 years older than me, he was a leader in the youth group until he started dating like a Chinese girl. And they're like, you can't be a youth group leader because you're dating a communist. And I was like, that's not
they
how
said
it works.
That?
Yeah. Wow.
At church, he said that.
Yeah. I was like, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
And it was just weird. Like, I'm pretty sure the problem started when they hired a guy from Texas to be our youth pastor.
Yeah, was he like the typical, stereotypical, like, Texas person?
He definitely had, like, a southern drawl and stuff,
yeah.
And, like, would exaggerate his, like, yeehaws!
Oh, really?
just to be, like, emphasize stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a nice guy overall, but when, like, I complained about, like, hey, I don't like these black jokes.
Wow. He was telling black jokes?
He was letting the guys do it. Like, I was made fun of. I had an expander because I have crossbite. And so, if you showed up late, you ended up with, like, the good old version of King James with a lot of these thousand byes. and having an expander in my mouth just made me lisp.
Oh, no.
So bad. And the only way for me to lisp was if I was like a creeper who did like bare minimum volume speaking.
Yeah.
And they would just make fun of me relentlessly. And so I was like, you know what? Screw this. And I like rage quit out of my youth group into a rainstorm.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, it was just weird. It was a lot of like, after I had brought up a lot of like, hey, this isn't cool. Mm-hmm. They gave us like this 25 question survey to like try and like damn us and stuff. They're like, what's your favorite book? And I was just like, Alice in Wonderland. Oh, so you like drugs and stuff. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what's your favorite music? And at the time I was trying really hard to like blend in high school. So I was like, I like playing Chemical Romance and Fallout Boy. And they're just like, oh, so you're a devil worshiper.
Oh my
and
gosh. I was like,
I'm just an emotional teenager trying to survive.
Oh, wow.
And then the last two questions were, what do you like about the youth group and what do you not like? And I was just like, what do I like? Nothing. Because my three friends either graduated out or moved away. So I was just by myself.
Oh, that's
and then it's like, what do you hate? I was like, I hate that people are racist. I really hate when this guy, because there was an adult who had two kids in the youth group, and he was just a terrible human being. We had a dinner at his place, and he made a kid cry playing Risk. Like,
oh, wow.
He's just like, you're a dirty cheater. We didn't know we were playing Home Rules. Like, he didn't state that. And so the kid's crying. He's like, I'll undo the move. And he's like, this is what happens when your mom's a whore and she just abandons you. And everyone knew, like, he was abandoned as a baby. We never brought it up. And we're just like,
oh my God.
And so when we brought up to the church, we're like, hey, this guy probably shouldn't be around the youth. He's just like, you're exaggerating. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? He's a good speaker. You know who else was a good speaker? Hitler.
Oh, God.
And so they just thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
And it just sucked. Like, once I graduated out, they gave us this crazy Bible called the Way of the Master Bible.
And what religion is this?
Southern Baptist.
Oh, Southern Baptist. Okay.
Which makes no sense in a northern state, let's be real. But it's the Way of the Master Bible, and it was compiled by Ray Comfort, this weird guy. If you've ever looked up, like, the bananas, how they're formed to fit in their hand video, that's him.
No, but we're going to write that down.
And Kirk Cameron. And if you remember Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains, he's super religious evangelical right now. And this Bible has, like, the Evidence Bible has about a lot of questions in it to help you be like, oh, okay. And so it's kind of a cool Bible. And then randomly in the middle of it, it's just like, did Hitler go to heaven or hell?
No.
And like, they have this entire page just like answering whether or not he could be saved.
Oh, wow.
And what? Yeah, because
what was the conclusion in this book?
I don't remember. I just
like,
remember going,
he's not so bad.
You know, I don't feel okay owning a Bible that has Hitler in it.
Yeah.
My grandma, my great granny Fowler, used to say Hitler just had a hard childhood.
I feel like World War II could have been totally not happened if he was just accepted into art school. If someone was like, you know what, you're not that great at art, but we can make you better.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, he'd be like a household, like, art.
Yeah,
we could like have Thomas like Kincaid, like master of light.
And Adolf Hitler, gallery.
Crazy.
Yes, this is an Adolf Hitler from 1943, one of his earlier works. It's Cat on the Lake.
Cat on the Lake, yes. Yes. Hitler art, you heard it here first. Got Tina Towns making waves in church so far. So tell us now, and this ties in with your youth group thing, about the dog shit brownies.
Okay.
Yes, because we were like, what?
So, yeah.
Excuse me. So, okay, the dog shit brownies. They had a weekend. It was like a Friday through Sunday thing. and the boys were separated from the girls, and it was a purity retreat.
I wrote that down too.
And
nine steps.
Yeah. I actually have it in my bag because I carry it in my joke book. But so the boys were kept at like the youth house, which is just like, it was a converted nursery building. So, and they made us do all the manual labor to like upgrade it to like adult toilets and stuff, from the tiny dino toilets.
Yeah.
Wow. And so the guys were there. And one of the guys who was a leader in the youth group, John something or other, he had made brownies for the guys as a way to represent losing your purity if you had premarital sex.
What?
With a girl who had been doing premarital sex. And he had frozen the brownies, so none of the guys could smell the shit.
Oh, my God.
So it was actual shit in the brownies.
Because he used his mom's terrier's poop.
Oh, God.
In it. And
I can't even, like, my brain can't really.
And the plan was to feed this to humans.
Yeah, I think one of the guys actually just straight up shoved an entire brownie in his mouth, but didn't actually swallow it. And he's just like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this represents how, like, it could even just be like an eighth of an ounce of dog shit, but it ruins the entire brownie. And I was just like,
yeah,
that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And then whereas the girls, we stayed, remember that house with all the leaves? We stayed in their house.
Oh, geez.
It was such a huge house. Like their downstairs was basically like a college dorm with like 10 to 12 rooms downstairs and a giant like, just
they're running some commune shit.
It was questionable because it had one of those like stairwells to be like it came up into their like kitchen pantry, so it was like a server's quarters, so you could not be seen nor heard.
Oh wow!
And I mean, it was near a plantation area, so I'm not saying this is probably a slave owning house in Idaho.
Things are adding up here.
But for us, they were like, oh, we're going to build the girl self-esteem and self-love or whatever. And they're like, make sure you bring your swimsuits. There's a hot tub. We'll just, like, pamper ourselves or whatever. And I wore, like, my first bikini, which was, like, a hand-me-down from my mom. And everyone
did it have a skirt?
No. Oh, okay. It was just this cute, like, teal-colored bikini that my mom was like, okay, I trust that you're old enough to wear this. And when I put it on, you know, like, you have to get wet in your swimsuit to readjust this tightness, right? And everyone was just like, oh, you're too fat to wear that. Your boobs are too big for that bikini. And
I
was just
like,
what? Okay, let me just go put a t-shirt on to cover my shame.
Oh, jeez.
And then, after that, it was like, oh, we're going to read scenarios. And one was like, girl gets roofied and then date raped at a party. And they're like, what's the best way to avoid this? I was like, I don't know, really, because it already happened. So I guess you just hope that someone calls out the people who do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nope, wrong answer. She should have never gone to the party in the first place.
Okay.
Wow.
If she was a real Christian, she wouldn't have been drinking. And I was like, okay, that's not realistic. But I mean, at least the girls didn't get shit brownies. We just got slut shamed.
Yeah. Great.
Dang. That is intense.
Sounds fun.
I mean, like, they took us up to Silverwood in northern Idaho.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you don't know history about northern Idaho.
You should.
They didn't believe me or my brother when we went because it was like a salute to the seniors and welcoming in the new, like, underclassmen. And I was like, oh, God, I'm not going to be allowed on any of these rides. And they're like, you're just paranoid. That was back in the day. And I was just like, sure, back in the day. You know,
it's like 15 years ago.
40 years ago wasn't that far. That's just like one gen, guys.
Yeah.
And we get there, and I'm talking to my friends. I was like, guys, just let me carry your purses so we can just cruise through. No problems. And they're like, you're being paranoid. And we're not even in the gates of this stupid amusement park when a security guard comes and is like, is this colored girl bothering you?
No.
Oh, my God.
And then they finally believed me. And they're like, oh, we were just seeing whose purse got priorities for medication reasons. And I was just like, I just gave them I told you. look. And it even got worse. Like, if I was in the back of the line of the group trying to ride on a roller coaster, they'd let everyone else on and be like, sorry, the last ride before maintenance.
That's crazy.
And I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to the water park. What are they going to do? Drain the pool?
Yeah.
Turns out that's where all the minorities went. We all had the same idea.
Oh, really? All went to...
But I never want to go back there because I was pulled under by some white kids and they tried to drown me.
Oh, shit.
But luckily, we had a buddy system and my buddy noticed I went under and they saved me because I can't swim. But I I'm one of those, like, I like to be in an inner tube because at least I can float.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, I didn't take a swim class until I was in college.
Oh, really?
It was like, I should probably learn how to swim.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a pro doggy paddler.
Are you now? Yeah. Sweet.
And I don't mind being in deep water as long as I can see the bottom. So, ocean's still not about that.
No oceans. Yeah. Maybe a lake if it's clear.
Right.
So, you wrote this down. It's 9 steps to stop fucking with your purity. Yeah. Is that...
Yes. So,
because I was like, what?
It's 9 steps for your purity. And it starts off like a... You have to draw the line on where, like, you'll stop, like, pushing the line of your purity because you existing basically makes you lose purity points.
Oh, okay.
And so there are 9 steps. And the first step is just making eye contact with someone of the other gender.
That's a no.
So,
so you're not supposed to do that to remain pure. Okay.
And the second step of pushing it is talking to them.
Oh, my goodness.
Third is holding hands, but they don't clarify between cupped hands or fingers laced.
Yeah, it's two different, totally different hand holdings.
And then it's just, like, touching on the shoulder or, like, the side of the waist. And kissing, but lips closed, is the 5th step. And then, like, kissing with mouth open is the 6th one. And that's where I drew the line, because saliva is gross. Like, I just, I don't like people's sweat on me, and I don't like their spit on me. It's just, no thank you. And then the next step, 7, is petting while clothed.
Okay.
And I'm just like, petting. Why would I pet my, like, dog naked?
Yeah.
I'd hope I'm wearing clothes around animals. And then step 8 is experimental nakedness. And there are quotes around experimental.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's just like just being naked and
flashing,
being like,
maybe.
Okay, do you think my body is ugly? But in my head, because I'm a chem nerd, I was like, so is it like, all right, we're going to mix this hydrochloric acid with some base. Hope I don't burn off my dick.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, are they not wearing safety goggles? Is that what they're doing? I don't know. And then, of course, the last one is having sex. So, I was always confused how it was like an going upscale versus like a downscale. So, start 9 is like making eye contact.
Yeah.
And then once you're closer to 0, that means you're closer to hell.
Closer to death. Loss of all purity.
And the pamphlet little paper they gave us had like a cute little like China teacup with like some tea in it as like a what's it called, a clip art thing at the bottom
thing
to be like, oh, it's so delicate and dainty, like your femininity and purity.
Oh, this teacup, yeah. Some chamomile tea.
Right.
Exactly like your purity.
Who needs boys when you can just go to sleep?
Yeah, exactly.
My youth group was such a shit show.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad, like, I only had to go until I was 18, because my dad was just like, you can go until you're 18, and then after that, you're an adult, so I don't care what you do. Because at that point, you're God's problem. You're not my responsibility.
Oh, nice.
You're an adult. You're responsible for yourself.
Nice, yeah.
And I actually kind of got cheated a little early because I got a job at 17, and I volunteered to work on Sundays.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm super busy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, like 12-hour shift.
Right? Like, oh, they couldn't find someone to work on Sunday morning.
Darn it.
Me again.
Howdy. Yeah. And and honestly, like the people I went to church with were actually some of the worst customers I had to deal with.
Really?
Oh yeah, they were the like coupon Karens and stuff, and it's just like, that's not how this works.
And where did you work at the time?
I worked at Popeyes.
Popeyes.
It was like the only place that would accept my application.
Nice. Hey, you gotta go where you gotta go sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, like I had friends at Target when I first applied there, and they're like, oh, did you get the P test? And I was like, no. Oh, yeah, then you're not hired then. But, you know, they do have, like, Stuart in the back, and he's a black guy, too. So I think they're good on the diversity quota. Okay. And I was like, that's encouraging.
Yeah. Damn it, Stuart.
I was like, is that why I've never seen a black person in Target? Yeah. Like, they keep him in the back.
Were you like, what stock about Asians?
There was Austin. He was in. Okay. He was in the like software and gaming department and electronics.
Sheesh. An Asian guy named Austin. Come on now. That's Idaho.
I'm pretty sure he was adopted.
Okay. Might have been, yeah. Yeah, well, I had a friend when I first moved here, when I worked for Frito-Lay. His name was Joe, and he was Filipino, and I just moved from California, but he was born and raised here and, like, knew very little about, because he was adopted by a white family, knew very little about his, like, Filipino culture. I was, like, telling him stuff about his culture.
You need to know this.
Yeah.
What, you don't know lumpia? What's wrong
with
that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny. It's like, oh, this is weird. I guess all these years growing up with Filipinos, you know, I guess I get to use some of the knowledge. You know? Right. So, follow-up question. Where's the spot around here to get good Filipino food?
Honestly, it's just if you know someone.
That's what I figured, yeah.
There have been, like, 2 or 3 Filipino restaurants, as far as I know. And, okay, so not sounding mean, but, like, Filipino food takes forever. It's a labor of love. And, like, the restaurants, they always made everything fresh to order.
Yeah.
And I think I went one time with my mom, and we waited, like, 2 hours for just two plates of food.
Wow.
And, like, it was just like, oh, they don't just, like, prep some stuff and, like, halfway cook it.
Yeah, something.
But, like, I mean, the food was dope.
Yeah.
But you gotta not be ready. Worth the wait.
Was this the one that was on Fairview?
Yeah, that was on Fairview. And there was another one. There's, like, the Women of Wool, like, that Twisted U yarn shop or whatever
of
Chinden.
Yeah.
That used to be a Filipino restaurant.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah, I don't think they lasted more than, like, 3 months each.
Yeah, I remember going to the one,
like,
on
everyone
Fairview
didn't
once.
Really want to pay, like, you know, $10 to $12 for, like, just one plate of food. Mm-hmm. But it was also, you're not going to eat the rest of the day if you eat this entire plate of food type thing. Plate. But, yeah, I mean, the food is great. You're better off just trying to find someone.
Yeah.
It's Filipino. I know that there's a, like, Filipino American Association, and there are two factions, like.
Oh, really? Is there, like, bad blood?
I guess there was, like, the everyone who had kids, and then, like, the elders faction.
Okay.
And I was part of both, because my mom wanted, like, my grandma lived with us, so she was with them, and my mom was like, okay, well, I'm on this one because I have kids. And one girl, she was in the older faction because her parents were just like, we don't want to deal with them. They are too secular or whatever. And I was like, well, I'll go because she's probably lonely. Yeah. Being, like, the only, like, Gen Y-er in this entire room.
Right.
So I'd go, and, like, we're still good friends today, and, like, we go to anime cons together, so. But, I think the more active association part, I don't know if they finally just merged back together or not, but the more active one for the Filipino American Society or Association or whatever the hell they want to call themselves, they do stuff like they perform at Festival of Trees and stuff and have a float in the, like, holiday parades to be like, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
And I just remember it used to be, like, the Christmas parties were, like, just the families that worked at Migron. And then, you know, people started dating out there and bringing their white boyfriends or whatever. And then, you know, cops were getting called because people were triple parking in the street.
Oh, jeez.
Because it was always held at someone's house. And then they started doing it at, like, the Catholic schools and stuff got damaged at the Catholic schools, and somehow me and my brothers got blamed for it because we're easy targets. That's the truth. Oh, but yeah, it was stupid. There was a lot of, like, if stuff got broke, it was clearly the black kids type things.
Really?
And so
that
it was just
a lot.
I may or may not have, like, punched a few kids in elementary school.
Probably not.
I definitely did. I punched one kid in the face one time in front of my teacher because they made fun of my older brother because, like, they were bragging that they were able to blame him for the damage.
Oh,
they did,
dang.
Like, thousands of dollars of damage to a school because they got on the roof somehow, got into the ventilation system, and did the whole climbing through, and then, like, broke through the ceilings and stuff.
And then blamed you guys, or blamed your brother?
Yeah, because my brother got up there to try and be like, guys, no, get off the roof.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was just bad. But, like, once the community started getting bigger, they're like, we could make money off of this. So they started having, like, the Christmas parties held at, like, the Expo Idaho building.
Oh, okay.
And charging, like, $10 to $30 or something for everyone to come in, and it's like prom formal attire.
Okay. Oh, really?
Oh, it's awful. I hated it.
Yeah, we don't have anything to wear.
But like the food, so much food.
Yeah.
And like you could take stuff home. Mm. That's probably the only thing I don't mind. It's the fact there's so much good Filipino food, and I didn't have to cook any of it.
Are you a good cook?
No. Oh. No, I'm not. Like, I've been slowly learning different dishes from my mom because she's the Filipino one.
Nice.
Okay.
And, like, just making a simple thing of lumpia takes a good 3-4 hours because you have to cook the meat and stuff and make sure your wraps are thawed out enough and then deep fry your lumpia and whatnot. And she would just mock how I, like, rolled my lumpia or stuffed it. She's like, you're doing it wrong. I was like, I'm doing it exactly like you showed me. She's like, no, you're just doing it wrong. It's like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, I used to love going to the Filipino parties because you just knew there's going to be tons of food.
Oh, yeah. Like, you all step into a Filipino party, they're like, your hands are empty. Here's, like, a Coca-Cola. Here's a plate already pre-filled with food.
Dang.
Oh, your plate has, like, an opening spot. Here's another roll.
Yeah.
You could not have empty hands at a Filipino party.
Well, I remember, too, even, like, when there wasn't a party, but going to pick my... Even like to pick up one of my friends at their house, you know, a lot of them, their grandmother lived with them and they would just cook all day, you know. Yeah. So I would go in, I'd go to pick up my friend. You had to sit down and eat. And you were given a plate of food. And then when you finished that, they'd pick it up and fill it up again.
Like,
and like at least 2 full plates, like every time you went to go.
Yeah. Pick up that, your friend. That's what I remember from my childhood because my grandmother lived with us when I was growing up until I was about 17. And then she was like, I think I'm dying. And went back to the Philippines and then lived for like another 6-7 years.
Oh, okay.
Just like, you could have just said you wanted to go home.
Right?
Yeah, right.
No one was keeping you here.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. So I don't really associate with most of the Filipinos here that I grew up with, mainly because they were just like, the ones who were like, well, you're not, you know, cool enough to hang out with us. We don't go to school together. And then a handful of them transferred from Bishop Kelly, the Catholic school, to Eagle High, where I was. They're like, oh, hey, what's up? And then they ended up being like the most popular kids. Mm. And I was just like, don't associate with me. I don't like you. Like, we're not friends.
Yeah.
Don't know. And like, even in college, like, one of the girls, I just don't like her existence at all because she's one of those.
BSU?
Yep. Where the BS comes before you. She would just, you know, try to find intel for gossip, basically, and she would tell her mom, and then her mom would spread it everywhere.
Oh.
So it's just one of those, I don't want to get involved with you. Please go away.
Yeah.
And so, but she would spend like good chunks of time just standing like next to the booth I'm like studying in, and be like, are you gonna invite me to sit down? No. I've been ignoring you. I thought you would have understood that I don't want to be near you.
Follow the signs.
But yeah, like out of all of the like Filipino people I know, I think I'm only friends with maybe 5. And I think that's because three of them are siblings.
Oh,
oh okay. So by default.
Yeah.
Jeez. So let's talk about how you got into comedy. Like, first of all, how long have you been doing it for?
I think I'll have hit the 3-year mark since I've started, because I started out of pure spite and anger.
Oh, really?
My ex was a comedian. I don't know if he still does it. I haven't seen him around or anything.
Yeah.
And when we broke up, he was like, comedy is my safe space. And you can't be in it because you put me into a negative safe space.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, okay, but like, I like comedy. Like, I've met people because of you that I like. Yeah. And I like seeing them perform and stuff. And I'm not just going to stop.
Yeah.
No.
And then, so I told some other people and they're like, oh, I've never talked to you before. Because he actually treated me like a you can be seen but not heard type.
Oh, one of those.
I ended up actually, how I could describe it, like, I liked him for a while, but there were things that I just wanted to escape because he had a lot of internal stuff that he needed to deal with. But that's neither here nor there. But, like, I was basically the, like, rebellion girlfriend because his parents weren't super racist, but they were like subliminal racist.
Okay.
So it'd be subtle things.
Oh, geez.
And I was just like, I really hope you're not dating me to rebel, but it really feels like it is.
Oh, really?
But it happened like one night. It was the year of the solar eclipse that you could see from Idaho. Uh-huh. So like 2017 or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. It was like the night or two before, my friends from out of town were up in Boise, and we all went to dinner to eat ramen or whatever to be nerds. And I get this 13-part text message from my ex.
Oh,
and he's just like,
that doesn't sound good.
He's like, I heard that you wrote a joke about my slave kink. And even though it's yours, that I was like, mm-mm, I don't bring race play into anything because just uncomfortable for anyone. And it was just this 13-part text message about how he's going to sue me for libel and defamation of character for this joke. And this joke was just based off of the one line from a Rihanna song, S&M. It's like, whips and chains excite me or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the punchline for the joke is just like, when I said I like to be, when I said whips and chains excite me, I meant I like to be dominated, not owned. That's a joke. Like,
yeah.
So like, no name dropping of anyone.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, almost every guy I've dated in Idaho does have like a weird race slave master kink.
Really?
And it's just like, we are too north for this.
Yeah.
Could you not? I'm sure in your family history, because you're probably an ex-Mormon too, you can just scroll down and see who owned someone.
Yeah.
Because y'all have enough history tracky. Whereas I'm just like, I think I can go as far back as my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got that text message, and at first I was like, oh, it's just one. But then my phone kept ringing, and I was upset because I was going to lose this game. It was the whole, like, everyone's phone is in the center of the table. Whoever grabs theirs first pays for the bill.
Is going off.
And I was like, okay, I don't know if, like, a family member is dead. And then when I saw it was him, and I was just like, I'm not reading this. Who wants to read this? I'm angry now.
Yeah.
And so my friend read it out loud in this open air restaurant.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do an open mic. And then the following Monday, I went to Mad Sweet and did an open mic.
Wow.
Out of spite. And like, he was actually like supposed to be filming all the people doing their sets, and when I did the punchline for the whips and chains one, I just looked him dead in the eye.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then afterwards he came into me and he's like, oh, you did pretty good. And I just looked at him and I was like, next time if you hear a rumor about like a joke I wrote, maybe you should go to the source and not be a little bitch.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so and then I just kind of kept going and performing and stuff, and there used to be like a like joke 'em if you got 'em contest, and it was like 5 to 6 comedians, and then if you won you had to claim your title for the next week, and it was kind of one of those, you know, different competitors to see if they could take the title.
And who decides? The audience?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it was Cheerometer.
Yeah.
But, so I had won, like, twice. And the start of 2018, I had to try and reclaim my title a third time the first weekend. And my ex was the host. And it was just one of those, you could tell who won by the cheer, and it was rigged. And I was just like, it's whatever, I don't even care, because I'm running out of material. So, and like, I had asked him, I was like, oh, when should I ask again to compete or whatever? And he's like, well, we don't want people's faces to get like burned out on repeat comedians. And it's just like, okay. And then I got petty. But I had been keeping a list for the original hosts of the contest. And so I had who hosted, how many times they posted, who's won, how many times they've won, then how many times someone has competed. And like, there was over 35 people who have only competed once. And then I was in the 5 or 6 realm with a handful of people. There were 2 people who had performed at least 16 times.
Dang.
And I was just like, if you want to, I was like, speaking of fresh faces, here's a list of people. And he just, and then he like freaked out on me saying I was doing that to just get back at him on what he had done to me. And I was what? Because I broke your heart. I was like, bro, we broke up like 7 months ago.
Bro.
This has nothing to do with us on a personal level. This is strictly professional.
Yeah.
And then he tried to get me banned from places. And I was like, whatever. I don't want to deal with drama. So I stepped away. And then my dad passed away from a bad car accident.
Oh, no. Sorry.
So I ended up in Arkansas for like the first half of 2018.
Okay.
And I did like one open mic down there, which was kind of weird because the first one was like, oh, come to like do the open mic in my shed. And I was like, that sounds like a trap for lynching.
Yikes.
No, thank you. But I went to one that was at like a movie theater that had a bar, and one half was like the dining room. And so it's just like high back chairs and tables for just drinking at. And then the other part was a living room, and it straight up just set up like a living room with a fireplace and comfortable couches and stuff. And so that's where we performed in that half. And it was so hard not to swear.
And you weren't supposed to?
Yeah. So you'd see people be like, what the fudge? That refrigerator, am I right? And when I went up, I just kind of ragged on Idaho the entire
time. Yeah. And what was this gig?
It was just an open mic at some movie tavern place.
Oh, okay.
Off the highway in Arkansas, like outskirts Little Rock.
Oh, wow.
She ragged on Idaho.
Yeah, nice. I just ragged on Idaho. I was the only female comic there, too.
Dang. But do you find that a lot?
I mean, there's a handful here locally. Okay. But for the most part, yeah, it's a higher ratio of dudes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's whatever. Most of the dudes are quality and not trash. Nice. So I can't complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trash usually takes itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tends to happen. So, you know, Sean Peabody, he's actually a friend of mine. I actually worked with him at a place called AP Tech in California, Napa, California. That's where we met. It's when his kids were little.
We went to the show over here.
Yeah, over Northern at Lights. Northern Lights Cinema. When they used to do.
Yeah. You were like, dang, I know that guy.
Yeah, we actually talked for a minute there, because we had both been in Idaho for a while and never got together or anything. I just happened to see that he was in Idaho, because I saw a thing for Quinn's, and he was hosting, I think, an open mic there. This was probably at least 5 or 6 years ago. I was like, oh, shit, I know that guy. I was like, is that the same Sean Peabody I know?
Yeah, he's supposed to be featuring at, like, Crescent Brewery on the last Friday, either this month or next month.
Oh, nice. Oh, we should go check him out. Yeah.
And it's a free show there, too. And, yeah. I mean, Jody's, like, the sweetest bartender ever. She's a sweetheart, and I love her. Yeah. It's just really sad that most people stick to Boise for the open mics versus coming out. Because it used to be Crescent was the place to go on a Tuesday night because there was nowhere else to go.
Oh, really?
And then all of a sudden, these two mics pop up almost within a week of each other. And everyone's just like, I'm already in Boise. I'm not going to drive out to Nampa. And I'm just like, I live off of Eagle and Chinden.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was working at Motel 6. Not that I liked it, but depending on if I was at work or not, I was like, I'm by the airport, which means I'm close to downtown. So,
yeah.
But I don't work there anymore. So now it's just like, I can just hit McMillan Road all the way to Nampa if I need to. Plus, I mean, like, it's more time in at Crescent. It's like 10 minutes versus like 3 to 5 most of the places in Boise.
Really? You get a longer set? Okay. That's cool.
How much time do you have?
Most places give you like 3 minutes.
How much could you do?
I can do probably a good solid like 15, 20.
Yeah.
If I were to compile like everything I have.
Yeah.
Which I can kind of do because I can just kind of build off and go into the other thing.
And crowd work?
Crowd work I'm not the best at, but again,
and that's
like
just calling somebody out, right? That's just being like
kind of like reeling them in, tell them to be like, hey, you're like being the bad student.
Yeah. And then making fun of them, kind of?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I can't roast people all that much. Like, the closest roast I have is if I ever go up after my boyfriend, who is also a comedian.
Okay.
Currently. How is that going?
It's fine. Oh, like, we don't actually talk comedy.
Oh, okay.
So, we keep comedy out of the bedroom. But, I guess he looks like an off-brand Jared Leto. I don't see it because I just don't. Sure, but every time I go up, not every time, a lot of the times if I go up after him, it's just like, if you don't want to know what it's like to sleep with an off-brand Jared Leto, just ask me.
Oh, jeez. Oh, gosh.
But other than that, like, I don't banter, really. But like the couple of times I've performed, there haven't really been like a big crowd. It's been a lot of comedians a lot of times. Like the last video I sent you guys.
Okay.
That was when I featured at Mad Swede on a Monday night, and it was mainly comics. So I was just like, I'm just gonna kind of half-ass this. Like, I'm gonna try not to, but if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. How nervous are you up there? Are you cool with that? I think I would freeze.
I get really nervous. I don't actually know why I do comedy, because I hate public speaking. But I guess it's pretty easy for me now since I know a lot of the comics personally. So it's just at this point, I'm just dicking around with friends.
So are you looking to the future for it? Or
I mean, right now it's more of a like get my mind off of things if I'm super stressed, because I really hated my job when I was a housekeeper. It was like the worst. So it was a good stress relief.
This is like your release.
And like my current job that I work at, like, I've been in a writing funk because of like, oh no, I actually like my job.
Oh, what do you do now?
What do I do?
What are you
do
doing
I have
now?
To dig deep now and just write about my life again? I work at a gas station.
Oh, okay.
I work for Adventure's First Stop.
Oh, Maverick. Oh,
nice. Yeah.
That is true.
Twice yesterday.
I even said that one time.
I even work at like one of the few locations that have a Cinnabon.
Oh,
and
oh,
the yeah. one Cinnabon. Sentence I hear at least 5 times a day is, I can't see how you can work in here with this cinnamon smell. And I'm just like, it's called nose blindness. And I went nose blind after my second day. So.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, I bet.
And you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's also like 2 miles from my house. So if my car never starts, it's just like, I've got a bicycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Sheesh. Maverick really is Adventure's First Stop. I've called it before, like when we were heading out
a lot of,
to something
times.
I was like, and we stopped at Maverick, we got our drinks and our snacks, and I was like, this is Adventure's
it
First
is.
Stop.
They also apparently are like the cleanest bathroom gas
really?
Stations
they
in
do
the
have
nation
clean bathrooms.
Nice.
Yeah,
and I thought about it and I was like, yeah, I've never questioned having to go to a bathroom in a Maverick.
Yeah, they are always clean, especially the really new ones.
Yeah, with like no doors, it just kind of is like a little pathway
now,
to the bathroom.
Now, if you still go to that one on by downtown Boise. It's on,
oh, on like Main.
And yeah, now that one, you got to go through like the little stock area to get to the bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. Like the small ones are just adorable. Because there's one on State Street that's like that as well, but it's even smaller.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my hips are too wide for these aisles. I'm going to knock a shelf over.
And that's how all of them used to really be, was back, because I used to work for Frito-Lay, so I delivered to some Mavericks, and yeah, they all used to be like little compact, just tons of product in there.
Yeah, like the one I work at, they basically, the business is built on someone's property, like they bought the property, and all I remember about this property was this house had like a hill built in front of it for a sound barrier from the road. And then they just had miniature goats that screamed all the time on this corner. And then as they slowly got rid of their property, like they had less and less goats. And now they don't have any goats at all. And I'm just like, I kind of miss the goats.
Yeah.
And like now they're building like some tap house behind my Maverick. And I was just like, great. Now I have to worry about someone drunkenly like backing into my car.
Yeah.
Fun time. And then part of me is like, but now I have an easier place to go drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have to go downtown.
No. Stop right in and Uber home or take your bike. I used to do that back, God, it would have been in my 30s. When I had a truck, some nights when I would go out, if I was going out drinking with people and I didn't want to pay for a cab home, I actually just put my bike in the back of my truck so I could just ride my bike home.
Perfect.
Oh, man. Yeah. I did that a few times with a friend who lived in the North End, and we would just meet her at her house, and then we'd ride bikes down. And we're like, yeah, we're good. Oh, it was the worst idea because you get drunk so fast riding a bicycle because it's just pumping it through your system to the point where we're trying to be like, are we in a straight line? Are we going to get pulled over in the North End for drunk bicycle
riding? Yeah. Yeah, you can get a DUI for that.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the bicycle doesn't have a motor on it, is it technically like motor vehicle drunk driving?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There's questions. We need answers too. Oh, yeah. That's from today when I went in and had some procedures done.
Your little barcode.
Yeah. You're not even a person anymore. So growing up, did like people tell you were funny or
stuff like that? Not really. So I didn't have a lot of friends, mainly because I was too scared to bring my friends home because my mom was one of those like, if a pillow is out of place, the house was just a pigsty type thing. And also like my grandmother there was kind of weird because she didn't speak that much English.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken English and a lot of Tagalog. Mm-hmm. So I knew certain words. Like,
you know that. Don't you?
I know some words.
Yeah, like, I know, like...
I think you know swear words.
I know
words.
Gay. I know stupid.
Oh, no.
And, like, water.
And water.
Gay, stupid, water.
So, I learned gay and stupid when I went to visit, like, family in the Philippines, and two kids got into a yelling match, and that's all they were yelling at each other. And it was just progressively who could yell it louder.
Yeah.
But, so I just didn't want to weird out, like, my white friends with, like, all of our cultural food.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have, like, oh, we're going to have chicken for dinner one night, and, like, pork or whatever next. It was weeks long. So, it was, all right, we're having seafood, like, all week. So, a bunch of Filipino recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, chicken. So, a bunch of, like, black recipes my dad knew. And then beef one, which was a mix. And then pork was like mainly on Fridays. We didn't eat a lot of pork on Fridays. And like, it was just kind of weird. Also, my mom really hated whenever my brothers brought friends home because they never would take their shoes off. And that's like a cardinal sin in an Asian household.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'll just go to my friend's house.
Yeah.
They live in the gated community by the river.
Oh, nice.
So I had like indirect friendships with my brother's friends. And it was one of those, I'd be answering a question for them or another. And then my brother would be like, you're still talking? And it's just like, oh my God, you're so annoying. Just shut up. So I just like kept to myself and read books a lot and growing up.
Okay.
So, and then I guess it's more of once I started going to anime conventions and stuff, I started branching out, meeting more people that went to different schools and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they thought I was funny and stuff, but I would only do the whole like quiet wait for the right moment. To say something, and they'd be like, damn.
Yeah. Like, dang, that was a banger.
Your timing was perfect.
Yeah. Only took me a week and a half.
And then, like, I remember there was one kid, he was new to staffing one of the local, actually probably the local anime convention in downtown Boise. And he was trying to flirt with me, and I said something, and he was like, oh, that was smooth like butter. And I was just like, I also don't know how old you are, so I'm not going to continue.
Yeah.
I don't need a record.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's see here. So you said you've been doing comedy about 3 years now. Do you do, are you doing just like all open mics? Are you featuring?
I do a lot of open mics for the most part. I've only had a couple feature gigs. I have actually a couple shows next week, I think, if I know how to read
plug
calendars,
plug
right? One is a heckle show. It's like a happy hour show.
Not the ping pong balls.
No. Okay. This one's just like a, it's like a happy hour comedy show downtown at Edge Brewing's downtown location. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, free to watch, but if you want to heckle, you got to pay.
Oh, we saw the advertisement for that. Yeah.
So I'm doing that on Tuesday, the 21st. And then I'm doing a Funny for a Girl show on Friday, the 24th at Regal Beaver.
The Regal Beaver. Where's the Regal Beaver at?
That's downtown as well. It's, I believe, off of 8th Street. I haven't seen it personally yet. But the name of it gets me every
The Regal
time.
Beaver, yeah.
I can't. Ugh, it makes me feel dirty. Regal Beaver.
Regal Beaver.
That,
I'm saying it's regal.
I mean, should I put a crown on it? I don't know. But that should be fun because there's a lot of great female comedians on that show.
Cool.
So.
Oh, nice. Now, do you ever have people like saying, you know, like doubting you, why are you doing this, you know? It's
not really kind of- I've managed to get my friend group curated enough to where it's just like if someone's negative, I just kind of go, I don't need you in my life. Okay, thanks, bye. A lot of my friends are actually more like, oh my gosh, that's so impressive, I could never do that. It's inspiring. And I was just like, your art's inspiring. I'm just dicking around. Like, you draw stuff that takes you, like, up to a week. And I'm just here going, how can I make this a vagina joke without it being a vagina joke?
I gotta figure this
out. But, I mean,
out.
There's an art
That's
form
terrifying.
To that.
Though. Yeah. Because, like, I mean, there's everyone's just like, everything's on the table for comedy. And it's just like, I feel like it's personally how comfortable you feel on topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I mainly try to write stuff I can relate to. So basically just look at my life and be like,
and
my entire life is a joke already. So what can I pick from here?
Yeah.
Because it's just weird. Like, weird things just happen to me. Like, I ended up going to a Comic-Con in Garden City for free because of a bar fight.
Huh.
And I ended up meeting Walter E. Jones, like the black the black guy who was the first Black Power Ranger, because of I just happened to be downtown at the pizza place by a bar that had a bar fight, and he was at that bar.
Oh, jeez.
So I was just like, this can't be happening.
Wow.
But okay. And it's just weird times, like, it's weird. And just things that have happened at conventions I've seen. There is a voice actor who's kind of like in a bit of hot water at the moment because he's a trash person. I'm like, I personally don't like him. But he would throw hissy fits if he couldn't have steak for dinner or his meals.
Really?
Like, he wanted just steak 24/7. And it was just beautiful to see him throw a hissy fit, be like, sorry, you're over your leg limit for the day. For food spending.
Oh, God.
But, I think probably the weirdest thing to happen at a con was they were doing like their hentai viewing night. And my brothers were watching The Doors. And apparently they were watching some like brother sister.
Wait, explain hentai.
Okay. Hentai is Japanese anime porn.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And so, you know, they ID checked everyone or whatever. And I only went downstairs because you could hear the like show and its noises and like the elevator shafts and stuff. And I was just going to be like, hey, turn it down. And I hear chanting as I'm going there. And it's so loud. It's like a FIFA World Cup stadium loud from like maybe 100 or so people in this room watching porn together. Jeez. And it was like, all they need is a vuvuzela. Like, they're just missing those horns to make it a freaking sports stadium.
Jeez.
And they're chanting sister pussy. And so everyone who's by the everyone who's by the door guarding it is staff members or like my older brother who was just watching it with my other brother who was the head of events. And so everyone knew my brothers at the door. And so as I walked in, hearing them yell sister pussy, like, everyone's just like, hey, it's your sister. I was like, you know what? I'll pass. Just turn the volume down, please, and thank you. Y'all need Jesus.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Dang.
And that was, and it didn't help that, like, the name for the con that year, because it's Anime Oasis, and every year it has, like, a secondary name. So, like, this year's Anime Oasis June, because that's the new mascot's names. But the sister pussy year was Anime SP.
Okay.
Which meant special.
Special.
But everyone was like, Anime SP, yeah. Like, and I mean, like, there was Compile, and she was supposed, like, the mascot was supposed to be, like, a data person with, like, computer stuff and numbers and everything, but everyone was just like, Anime Oasis Compile.
Oh,
I was just like, y'all are nasty. Like, oh, I know she's not a real person, but you're nasty.
Yeah. All right, that's it for our segment on cartoon porn. All right. So, we kind of covered this, how you survived. So, you work at Maverick full-time?
Yes.
Full-time, and that pays your bills and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I also live at home, but that's also because, like, my former roommate decided to move to California. So, I was just okay, I'm going to move back in. And my older brother, my oldest brother, correction, was still living at home. Like, he had never moved out in the some odd years we had lived in that house. And he's like, I bought a house. I was like, cool, I'll take your room. It, it should be easier to clean out your room versus having them move all their stuff out of my former room. And that was a nightmare. Like, apparently he just never feng shuied his room to, like, rearrange it or anything. There was, like, dust from the 20 years he had been in that room.
Oh, wow.
That was purple somehow.
Purple dust.
There was like, discoloration of the walls, but like only certain spots with like oozy spots. And I'm just like, I don't want to know. Have to vacuum twice and then carpet clean. It was, it was gross. So I was just like, hey, are you moved out of the room? Cause I'm moving in. So I just, I've like, my room has become like, I've slept in like every room in that house. We're just taken over anytime someone's moved out.
Yeah, I'm up.
So I live with my older brother by 2 years, his wife and kids, and then our mom as well. So that's been fun. And like they're one of their cats decided to be like the neighborhood asshole. So he just comes back whenever he wants. And it's usually just fight with one of the cats.
Oh, jeez.
So it's just like, okay, Pickles. That's
Pickles
mean.
The cat?
Yeah.
Pickles, yeah.
Donuts is the one he always fights with. And it's probably because Donuts has no nuts.
Donuts has no nuts.
And is more of a lover than a fighter.
No nuts. No nuts is a lover. Who would have thought? So do you hang out with the other local comedians a lot?
Not really.
No,
I work a lot, so if I do have free time, I usually hang out with my boyfriend or some of my friends from college or the anime community, and that's kind of a crossover thing too. So a lot of them either met before college at the cons or at college and dragged them to the cons. Right. Because like weird stuff happens, guys. You got to be here with me.
Right.
But I've like hung out with the comedians maybe 3 times.
Okay.
And like I think 2 times was for a party or whatever. And so that was cool. And then I specifically hung out with black comedians at my house. And we had like brunch because I had never experienced grits before. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, you got to have it. So we planned a breakfast.
Nice.
Where all the black comedians got together, mm-hmm. except for one because he overslept. But we had all these, it was like myself and then 3 other comedians. Reese, LJ, and Corey, and we all just had breakfast and just had fun hanging out.
Nice.
And they taught me the way of eating grits.
Of eating grits. Did you like grits?
I did. I did the sweet way, and okay, I had a lot of butter and some brown sugar. Oh. And it was like, the lighter brown sugar versus the super molassy brown sugar, and it was just so good.
Yeah, if you go that route, it's, basically like a cream of wheat or cream
yeah because like I told him I grew up eating cream of wheat or cream of rice depending on like which ended up being the box with more because I had one sibling that only ate cream of rice and my dad had grown up eating grits all the time and he's like I'm not making grits ever not again making grits, no. So I ate cream of wheat because my dad liked cream of wheat. And so I don't actually know if I like it or not.
Yeah.
I just kind of ate it because my dad did.
Yeah. I mean, if you put enough butter and brown sugar in it, it's all good. But it's not really anything. Like, it's like grains.
I've never had grits.
Never. Mm-mm. I'm going to have to get you some grits.
Oh, dang.
Who is your favorite comedian?
Oh, gosh.
Let's say currently and of all time.
I don't know. I've been watching more comedians thanks to Netflix and stuff, but, I guess I really like Ali Wong.
Ali Wong, okay.
And, Angela Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know her.
No, I haven't heard you mention her before.
But, I definitely, like them too because they're females and they're also, one is Asian, the other is like Puerto Rican, I believe.
Yeah.
Angela Johnson is Puerto Rican. And so like she's made comments of like having a Filipino friend in one of her skits. And I was just like, that's so true. I can relate. And I haven't actually watched any like black female comedians, which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
And I was She's on my like watch list, but never watch anything at home because whenever I have time to like be on the TV, if my mom's not using it, like my niece or nephew is, I'm just like, oh, I gotta wait until they're like asleep. But I also have to be asleep, and because I don't have a TV in my room because I'm one of those weirdos. She's like, this is my space. Yeah. I don't need something distracting me in my space. But I have them on my watch list for sure, though. But I don't know if I technically have, like, anyone specific as, like, my forever favorite, but I guess the person who got me into, like, listening to comedy, I guess, would be Dane Cook.
Oh, okay.
Because when I was a junior in high school, like, he was the shit.
Yeah, he was
and,
huge.
Like, he came to Boise, and for, like, a week and a half, everyone was just quoting all his stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, even my health teacher was, and I was like, this is weird.
Oh, wow.
I guess I'll hop onto this train, but of course, I, like, missed it by a good month.
Yeah.
And so, it's just like, all right, I know all these bits, but whatever. And then, oh, gosh, like, Bo Burnham was huge, and I, like,
Bo Burnham,
I was like, oh, I like some of his stuff, because I had seen it from Tumblr, but only like clips of his stuff, not the full bit. And I was like, oh, he actually does stuff? That's cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just humor and the internet is just weird to understand. Because of Vine and everything. Because I was like the person who thought this gal, her name's Natalie Tran on YouTube, and she's community channel. Like,
her, has she been on Kill Tony? Tran? I remember
I don't know. Her name.
She's just been like, she's one of the longest running YouTubers, but she's not as active anymore.
Okay.
And her stuff was funny because it was just like, she would respond to like community stuff of a show that she was obsessed with. And then she started doing skits and stuff and just being awkward and Asian. I was like, I can kind of relate to that. She, like a lot of her things, she was like, I'm like a Vietnamese girl in Australia. Do you know how weird that is? And she's got like a weird hybrid of like an Asian accent with Australian English. And I just loved her so much. To the point where I remember with my first cell phone, I made my ringtone a song she did.
Aww. Oh, really?
About touching awkwardly.
Oh, jeez.
And it's like when you like brush against someone in an elevator trying to push the button.
Yeah, you're like,
and it's like you touched their side boob on accident. So I guess she would be the closest to like the my all-time favorite because she just did a lot of skit stuff on YouTube.
Okay, gotcha.
In the ye old days.
Yeah. So you haven't seen the new Alana Glazer special?
No, I have not. And,
okay. Do you know who she is?
No.
Oh, okay. From she was on the TV show Broad City, if you ever watched
that. I've heard of it. I never watched it.
I was just mentioning it because I watched the special, which she basically got from having a TV show. And I know like some comedians we listen to that are, it kind of like pisses them off when someone gets a special that's not a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of writing off their...
And they've been working for like 20 years.
Yeah, to try to get like a special, you know, and you just got it off from your TV show. Yeah. So... in my opinion, that one,
I guess technically I just remembered my like all time favorite, at least growing up, was, Chris Tucker.
Oh, Chris Tucker. Yeah.
I loved him in like Rush Hour and stuff. And like my dad was just like, you know, you shouldn't, cause he says inappropriate things. Like the first time I heard the N word ever was cause of like, was like from Rush Hour. And then like, my dad had like VHS tapes of like Eddie Murphy specials.
Yeah.
And like we had like Bill Cosby as himself.
Yeah, I remember that one. My dad had that
one. But my parents wouldn't ever let us watch them. Okay. And I was like, I feel like Bill Cosby would have been safe.
Bill Cosby was. Yeah. Well, sheesh.
But
well,
in a way. But and like I loved Eddie Murphy growing up too.
Oh, yeah.
And, Delirious. But yeah, like definitely like Chris Tucker, because I kind of stopped watching movies once like I stopped knowing who, like, oh, he's not performing anymore. I don't want to watch movies.
Yeah.
And but my friends are like, oh, do you watch this movie? It has Kevin Hart. And I was like, I don't know why, but I just don't like Kevin Hart. Mm. I think it's his voice.
I'm with you on Kevin Hart.
Like some of his stuff is okay. And then I remember watching like Secret Life of Pets. And he was the bunny, and I was just like, he is the most annoying character in this movie, and I can't.
Yeah, you know, I liked him in, like, Scary Movie 4, and when he was, when they were doing that, like, Brokeback Mountain scene, that was hilarious, but, I don't really like his stand-up that much, but I don't mind him in some movies, but, yeah, stand-up, I don't know, just doesn't appeal to me. Anyways, who inspires you?
Who inspires me?
Yeah.
I guess one of my favorite bands is called The Slants, and they're an all-Asian, were an all-Asian American, like, dance rock group. They, fought the U.S. trademark office so they could trademark their name, The Slants, when, they were denied. Because it was disparaging to Asian people.
Oh, really?
They're like, but we are Asian people.
Yeah.
And they used, like, the U.S. government actually used, like, UrbanDictionary.com as a source against them.
Oh, really?
And wow. So, like, they had battled for, like, over 10 years to get this trademark. And then, like, a year or two after they had won the trademark, they're like, yeah, we're disbanding as a band. And I was just, like, so heartbroken because, like, their music was just so inspiring because, like, one of their songs kind of takes the bad childhood rhyme is like Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, look at these. Mm-hmm. And they had a song called Sakura Sakura, and the lyrics like, we sing for all the Chinese and the Japanese and all the dirty knees. And I was just it was just really good. And it was just like, I may be different, but that's okay, because I'm going to be badass just like you.
Yeah.
And so they really inspired me with their music, and I just love them so much. But, I mean, it's not like they're just off the scene forever. Now they just kind of redirected their focus for more nonprofit work to help, like, Asian Americans and minority artists get their name out there. They actually approached me and they're like, hey, do you want to go on tour with your comedy? And I was just like, that sounds fun, but I'm terrified of leaving Idaho. Because I have bills. Like, maybe hit me up next year once I'm done paying off my car all my big item debt things are paid off. But it was pretty cool that, like, they noticed me, who was just, like, a simple fan. And they're just like, hey, we know you do stuff, but, like, do you want to do bigger stuff? And I was just like, thank you for considering me.
Yeah. There was no part of you that was like, fuck yes, I'm going to go do this.
Part of me was like, hell yeah, that sounds fun. But the other part of me was like, you don't have the star card for traveling if you have to fly. Do you even know where your birth certificate is? I have a bunch of plans for, like, this year, which involve, like, getting my passport so I don't have to get the stupid star card so I can just travel.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because if I can't drive there, I'll fly there, but I really hate to fly. But yeah, I definitely say, like, that band definitely have inspired me. And a couple of my friends I made through college, they inspired me because they, like, my friend Courtney Allen, she's a freelancer, and she just makes PowerPoint presentations and stuff. And she's gotten so good at what she does that even Microsoft have, like, commissioned her to be like, hey, we have this huge company thing that we need done in a PowerPoint. Will you make it for us? So
that's huge.
And, like, she has her own business now, and she's got, like, employees, and she's a year older than I am. So I'm just like, that's goals. And, like, the other girl was, like, the only other black girl in my physics class. Her name's Camille Eddy, and she worked for, like, Google for a while with an internship for a few years. And because she said, screw Boise State, because she was one of the few females in her, like, engineering degree, as well as, like, one of the few black kids. And so her advisors weren't the best. Like, they'd mock her sometimes when she'd come up with concerns and be like, hey, class scheduling issues. So she was like, all right, forget this. And moved to California for a bit, ended up getting that Google scholarship and doing a bunch of stuff there. And I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. I'm glad you're friends with me. And but now she's up in Moscow finishing her degree up at U of I, because apparently they have a better STEM program up there than Boise State does. And I'm pretty sure anywhere that's not Boise State has a better STEM program, to be honest, from what I've seen.
Are you in school right now?
No, I actually got kicked out.
Boise,
like,
State?
Like, I got a finalized kicked out, because started college straight out of high school, and I didn't want to. So I didn't care my first semester, which made my GPA really crappy. And then I couldn't recover it the next semester, so they had kicked me out for a semester, and they're like, get your stuff together. And so I also lost my, like, scholarships and stuff. And couldn't use FAFSA until I was off of academic probation, which was going to take me forever.
Only $3,000 in loans, right?
Right. Actually, I only got, like, $3,500 in loans from, like, my first semester.
You mentioned that in one of your bits somewhere.
And that covered basically my first year at Boise State, and then I paid out of pocket ever since then. And after the semester out, I did it again, but one class just held me down a bit. And so I was dismissed for an entire year.
Oh, dang.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to get my degree.
Yeah.
And like at that point, I was also married and just like miserable in my marriage because I used it as a way to get away from my parents, which was stupid. And I was working at Jack in the Box, and I just had one of those moments when you realize if I stay at this job, I'm probably just gonna like die. And it was when I got hit in the face with a milkshake that got thrown back at me.
I
had that I can't be in this job for the rest of my life. I can't do this. And so once the year was up of me being out of school, like I just tackled it, and I actually got off of like academic probation and stuff and did really well. And then, like, I got divorced at one point, and I was just like, ah, I gotta focus. And then I was just focusing so hard on school and stuff, but I couldn't pass one math class because I don't understand trig. And calculus is already hard enough to understand, so it was the calculus with trig. And so I had, like, two semesters where I tried to get that, and after the second semester, I was like, you're done. You can't do this degree anymore.
Oh,
if you
want
to come back to Boise State, you have to declare a different major.
Oh, jeez.
And so I'm just like, but I really just want a general chem degree. I guess I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And at this point, my friends were like, are you just going to restart? I was like, I don't even know how to write an essay anymore, so I might as well just start from point zero.
Oh, dang.
Because then if stuff comes back to me, that's just an easy A. I had to retake general chemistry 3 times because college was hard.
College is hard.
The third time I ended up like being the worst student version of myself. Like I was sleeping through the class, but I was still getting A's on the exams and the homework because I apparently like osmosis the information into my brain. And there was this one guy who was just so upset about that he made a bet with me. He's like, whoever gets a higher score, the loser on any exam, the loser has to buy them lunch. So he bought me lunch like 4 times that semester.
Nice.
But he ended up winning the final. And he beat me by like 0.1%. And I was just like, I'm proud of you because you tried and I was not. I left that class with an A and he had like a low B. And that was him studying so hard.
And you didn't study at all.
Yeah.
You slept through class.
Like, I would sleep through class. I think I showed up like Taco Tuesday drunk to
Taco
the class
Tuesday
one
drunk
because
it
was like tacos are $1, drinks are only like $1.50 more.
Wow. Nice.
So my friend and I just had tacos and they were like, oh shoot, we gotta get to class. So we're like drunkenly running back to Boise State through Julia Davis Park to make it to our classes.
Dang.
His was like a earth science class and mine was chemistry. Jeez. So we were hooligans, that's for sure. But if I were to ever get my degree again, I would totally go back to school because I feel prepared. I know how college works.
Yeah.
And I know my studying style, which is I have to trap myself on campus and just focus.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a laptop, I have to put, like, restrictions on websites a certain time frame so I can just focus.
Yeah.
Because, I was so bad. I was, like, playing Farmville my freshman year of college.
Oh, dang.
Jeez.
Like, I was more concerned on making sure my plants didn't die.
Yeah, your
versus,
fake plants.
You know, I should probably be studying for this history exam.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
But
no doubt.
Also, I mean, like, I was super down with, like, all the events that had free food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll totally go to the, you know, LDS church right across the street for pancakes.
And
you know what? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Mm-hmm. I love me some flapjacks.
Right. Awesome. Where can people find you at?
I don't actually, I'm not super active on super social media and stuff.
No.
Like, if I do, I don't post anything really content related. But
they can find you at open mics.
They can find me at open mics,
nice.
But I've started to try and post more stuff on my Instagram, that's a towns.girl for Instagram.
Towns.girl.
Yep. T-O-W-N-E-S. There's a silent E. I have a Tumblr, and like that thing's like an abandoned child. I've had it for years, and I never understood how Tumblr worked because I used it as a blog at first, and then I just started going memes, and then weird stuff happened on that website in and of itself, and I was just like, I'm just going to step away because even this is too weird for me.
Nice. Okay, so on Instagram at towns.girl,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, you're Tina Towns on there?
I think it's actually, it's like, they can search Christina Towns.
Christina Towns.
But that one's more of my, like, private personal stuff, nice. So.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, I'm still debating on whether or not making a page, because I'm just lazy.
It's lazy, so you're the lazy comedian.
Yeah. I'm a lazy comedian, and, like, whenever I have shows or whatever, I have friends, like, I'll commission my friends to make advertisements for me.
Okay.
And so, like, I have one from a coworker when I was at the motel, and he did it, and it's a cutout one, so I can change the info as needed.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, change the background, too. And so, I did that for when I was hosting Mad Sweet in December, and everyone's like, oh, did you draw that? I was like, no, it's cut out pieces, and I just found a piece of paper that looked like a fence, and I just tried to see whether horizontally or vertically it would look better. Yeah. And then, I have a friend on Instagram, at Hannah, not Barbara, because her name is Hannah.
Perfect.
I commissioned her to draw, like, doodles of me and her art style that I could use for advertising purposes. Cool.
So. Is that the one that's your profile picture now on Facebook? Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I remember that.
And like, she's been doodling for years, and I've seen her style evolve. So like, she used to do just strictly post-it note art. And so I have post-it note art of her doing just quick doodles, having a tentacle limbs phase, and then slowly going into the current style she does, which is water colors from like this handheld like travel kit of paints.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
And she'll still do it on post-it notes, even. She'll paint on post-it notes, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's always good to have people that are artists, especially when you're in do stuff like this.
Yes.
People that can hook you up.
Yeah. Yeah, one of our friends drew that.
Did our logo, yeah.
Like, nice.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah. So, I think that's all we have for tonight. So we want to thank you for coming over to the studio.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Yeah, it's fun watching your comedy.
Yeah, we've been getting to see a lot of more local comedy now since I put that post out on the Boise Comedy Fans group. Yeah, so people have been like reaching out and sending me clips
of
their stuff.
There are people.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you listed the places to go, we'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Because the comics have their own Facebook page, too, to, like, advertise within themselves.
Oh, okay.
And someone made, like, a sign of, like, all the open mics. And I'm surprised they didn't just post that there, even in the fans, be like, hey, if you want to hit open mics, just support them.
Yeah. I should go through their photos and find that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think only one has stopped being an open mic, and that was a Thursday night one.
Oh, okay.
And that was just because it didn't really draw a crowd or anything. But I think they're changing it up to be, like, a monthly show thing.
Yeah, we're always looking for comedy shows around here, but we don't get a ton of the big names through here, so finding local comedy would be awesome.
Woohoo!
Yeah. All right, so that is it. I want to thank everyone for listening. You can find us on Facebook at Toasted Marshmallow Adventures, Instagram at Toasted Marshmallow Adventures 1, our website, toastedmarshmallowadventures.com, or
SoundCloud, CastBox.
Yes. Email us at gettoasted@toastedmarshmallowadventures.com.
Yes.
That's it. I'm going to sign out. I'm Chris Adams.
Signing off. I'm Wendy.
And we have Tina. Say goodbye.
Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted.